Welcome to Bad Astrologer, the monthly podcast where I tell all 12 signs exactly what they don't want to hear. I'm your host, I'm a Gemini, and this is your forecast for May 2026. Shall we? Actually, I don't care if you're ready. Let's go. Aries. May is going to be a very busy month for Aries, in exactly the way that suits you. Lots of action, lots of noise, lots of reasons not to sit still long enough to feel anything. How convenient. Saturn has been grinding through your first house since last year, and by now you should have learned something about limits, patience, and the structural weaknesses in your own personality. Whether you have learned any of that is a different question, and frankly, I have my doubts. Neptune is sitting right alongside it in Aries, which should add a lovely fog to the proceedings. There's a version of you this month that is genuinely inspired, doing something brave and creative and new, and there is a version of you that is simply confused and calling it vision. You will believe it is the first version. The people closest to you will have their own quiet opinion. The full moon on 2nd May lands in Scorpio, your 8th house. That's intimacy, shared resources, the stuff you've buried. The moon doesn't care that you buried it. She will dig. Whatever you have been not saying to a person you care about, or a person you're trying to stop caring about, it becomes significantly harder to not say after the second. The elaborate system you've built to avoid this conversation, which probably involves being very busy, volunteering for extra work, picking unnecessary arguments about something totally unrelated, and developing a sudden intense interest in a new hobby, will start to show structural cracks. Scorpio light is unforgiving. The 8th house does not do polite hints. Mars, your ruler, is in your own sign until mid-month, which means you have energy, momentum, and an almost complete inability to listen. When Mars crosses into Taurus around the 17th, the same day the new moon in Taurus illuminates your second house, there's a shift. Taurus slows Mars down, which is an experience Mars hates, and which Aries tends to experience as everyone else suddenly getting stupider. Your second house is money, security, what you actually value when you stop performing boldness for a moment. The new moon here is useful, if you let it be. It's a decent time to review whether you're earning what you're worth and spending like someone with a plan rather than a mood. Mercury is moving through Aries, Taurus, and into Gemini this month, my sign, which means I'm biased, but it does make communication sharper in the latter half of May, and if you have something to actually say rather than just rebut, you might get somewhere. Jupiter in Cancer in your fourth house is doing quiet work on home and foundations. Something about where you live, or who you live with, or what family means to you is expanding in ways you haven't fully acknowledged. The second full moon, on the 31st, is in Sagittarius, your 9th house. Big ideas, travel, philosophy, the stories you tell yourself about your own life. It will feel exhilarating, like an escape hatch, and Aries will absolutely take it. This is fine, as long as you notice that you are using it as an escape hatch, rather than convincing yourself it's pure ambition. Here is the bit you won't want to hear. The conversation you're avoiding isn't actually about the other person, it's about something you want that you don't think you're allowed to want, and the reason you won't bring it up is that saying it out loud makes it real, and real things can be refused. You are braver than almost anyone I read for, and you are using every last bit of that courage to avoid being vulnerable in front of someone who would probably be quite gentle about it. At some point this month, despite your best efforts, you are going to feel something and be unable to immediately do something about it. You'll survive, you always do, which is both your greatest strength and the reason you've stopped believing you need help. Right, next up, Taurus. May opens with a full moon in Scorpio on the 2nd, sitting directly opposite your sign and lighting up the axis between what you own and what you share. Money, intimacy. The emotional debts you've been quietly tallying since approximately 2019. You've been keeping a ledger, Taurus. You think nobody knows about the ledger. I know about the ledger. The overarching theme this month is documentation. Not in the journaling, healing, dear diary sense. in the sense that you have developed a compulsive need to create a public record of your grievances using the thinnest possible cover of plausible deniability. The cryptic Instagram story. The vague post that is so specifically targeted that the recipient would have to be legally dead not to clock it. The Spotify playlist you've made public with song titles that, taken together, constitute a full written statement that would hold up in a small claims court. You're not angry, you're just sharing what you're listening to. Sure, this is partly Mercury's fault. The planet of communication careers through Aries into Taurus and then bolts into Gemini this month, and with Mars also moving from Aries into Taurus, you've got a conjunction building in your own sign that makes you feel like you have both the moral authority and the velocity to make your point. You do not have the velocity. You have the velocity of a glacier that has decided it has had enough, which is admittedly more threatening than it sounds, but still not fast enough to win the argument you're about to start on a LinkedIn post about workplace culture. The new moon in Taurus on the 17th is genuinely your moment, a reset in your first house, a chance to decide who you are and what you actually want, rather than what you want in opposition to someone else's choices. Jupiter in Cancer is making a lovely trine to this lunation, which means the universe is offering you something generous and warm if you can manage to receive it without immediately turning it into a referendum on whether you deserved it sooner. That last part is where it usually goes wrong. In love, the issue this month is not stubbornness. You know about the stubbornness, we've been through the stubbornness. The issue is that you've started relating to your partner or romantic interest the way a documentarian relates to their subject. Detached, analytical, building a case. Venus moves into Cancer and nudges you toward genuine tenderness, which you are capable of, and which you will express beautifully in a text at 11 p.m. after you've spent the earlier part of the evening being pointedly quiet. Work-wise, Saturn in Aries is sitting in your 12th house, which governs hidden things, self-undoing, and the elaborate catastrophe you build entirely in your own head before the meeting has even started. There is a professional opportunity here that you will either seize with both hands or quietly convince yourself you didn't want, depending on whether you've eaten. The full moon in Sagittarius on the 31st closes the month in your 8th house, which brings us back to the ledger. You'll feel the urge to settle something, to finally say the thing. Some of what you want to say is correct. Some of it has been composting in there for so long it has become something else entirely. The good news, and there is good news, I'm not a monster, is that under all this is someone who genuinely feels things deeply and builds love like architecture, slowly, load-bearing, meant to last. The bad news is that even the most beautiful building needs people to actually want to live in it. Stop photographing the blueprints and let someone through the door. Moving on, and it doesn't get better. Gemini. May is when Uranus moves into Gemini proper, and it's brought a suitcase. It's not passing through. It's not visiting. It is unpacking its chaotic little items into every drawer of your identity, and it plans to stay until 2033. Which means this month is the start of something, the first tremor before the longer earthquake. And you are responding to this in the most Gemini way imaginable, which is to describe the tremor to 6 different people and ask them all what they think it means, without actually standing still long enough to feel it. The full moon on 2nd May is in Scorpio, sitting directly across from your sign. Scorpio rules the part of your chart concerned with shared resources, deep entanglement, and everything you'd rather not examine in bright light. This full moon will illuminate something. Something that has been quietly festering in a relationship, or in your finances, specifically the bit where someone else is involved. And you will deal with this by immediately becoming very interested in something else. A project. A news story. The structural history of a building you pass every day. The point is not to deal with it. Then Mercury, your ruling planet, moves through 3 signs this month alone. Aries into Taurus and finally into Gemini by the end of May. 3 signs. You feel this the way a greyhound feels the starting gate opening. Your thoughts will be fast and your conversations faster, and you'll generate so many interesting possibilities for your life that the sheer volume of them will excuse you from having to act on any single one. This is not multitasking. This is using thinking as a substitute for doing, and the people in your life have a name for it, even if they haven't said it to your face yet. In love, your particular trick this month is being very present and very elusive at the same time. You will text back immediately and then say nothing of substance. You will show up enthusiastically and make sure that enthusiasm is about ideas, plans, banter, anything except how you actually feel, which is an emotion you are currently treating like a package you didn't order and have left in the hallway hoping it belongs to someone else. Venus is moving out of your sign and into Cancer through mid-month, and as it goes, it takes the charm with it and leaves something warmer and more inconvenient in its place. You'll notice you want more. You just won't say so. At work, Jupiter in Cancer is expanding your second house of income and values, which is good news. And Saturn in Aries is squaring your chart from the 11th house of networks and ambition, which is a reminder that expansion without structure is just expensive enthusiasm. You will have a genuinely good idea this month. You will not follow it through correctly because you'll get interested in a related but different idea halfway through, and then a third idea will appear and you'll genuinely think you can run all three simultaneously, and two of them will end up in a folder on your desktop called Ideas Serious. The thing you won't want to hear is this. You already know what conversation you're avoiding. You knew before you opened this. You've thought about it, planned it, rehearsed it, found the perfect words for it, and then decided the timing wasn't quite right. The timing will not improve. The other person has noticed the not timing. You are, for all your restlessness, remarkably good at staying exactly where you are. That's almost impressive. Next victim, Cancer. The theme of May, Cancer, is exposure. Not the dramatic kind. Not the kind where someone finally discovers your secrets. The quieter, more embarrassing kind, where you reveal exactly who you are through a series of entirely avoidable digital decisions, and then spend the rest of the month pretending you didn't. Jupiter has been sitting in your sign since last year, growing you in ways you haven't fully processed yet. More visible, more expansive, more convinced that your feelings are not just valid, but frankly, important. Combine that with Venus moving into Cancer around the 24th, and the emotional confidence you've been quietly accumulating hits critical mass this month. You will feel deeply and completely that the world deserves to know about it. This is the setup. What follows is the punchline. The full moon on 2nd May lands in Scorpio. That's your fifth house, the domain of creative expression, drama, and extremely unwise romantic gestures. You will have a feeling about someone. You will decide at around 11 p.m. on a Wednesday to express this feeling via Instagram story. Not directly to the person, just near them. A lyric, a quote, a very specific playlist title. You'll tell yourself it's self-expression. It is not self-expression. It is a flare gun fired into residential housing. Mercury spends May cantering through Aries, Taurus, and finally into Gemini, which puts it in your 12th house for its last stretch, the house of hidden things, self-undoing, and things you said at 1 a.m. that you shouldn't have. I would watch your direct message history like a nuclear site. The 12th house does not create disasters. It just removes the three remaining inhibitions that were holding them back. Work is interesting. And by interesting, I mean that Saturn in Aries is squaring your sign, and Neptune is right there beside it, dissolving the edges of what's real and what you've simply decided to believe. You've been telling yourself a story about a situation at work, about who noticed, who didn't, who owes you what. And this month, the square tightens. The story doesn't match the facts. This is fine and fixable, except you're going to decide to fix it through a carefully worded email that is 16 lines long and technically doesn't say anything accusatory, but absolutely does. The new moon on 17th of May in Taurus sits in your 11th house. It's a genuinely good moment for rebuilding professional relationships. You will miss it because you'll be composing the email. The thing you won't want to hear is this. You have a habit, when you're hurt, of making sure the people who hurt you know you're doing fine. Not by actually being fine, by curating evidence of being fine. The holiday photos posted with unusual promptness. The vague caption about growth. The story about having dinner somewhere lovely, posted at exactly the time they'd see it. Jupiter makes this bigger this month. You're not subtle about it. You think you are. You're not. The people you're performing for clock it immediately, feel a complicated mix of guilt and secondhand embarrassment, and text someone else about it. Meanwhile, you've made yourself feel better for about 40 minutes. The full moon on 31 May in Sagittarius lights up your sixth house, daily life, habits, the accumulation of small choices. It's a decent place to end the month. Look at what the small choices added up to. For all that, there is something genuinely moving about the way you love. You do it too much and too obviously, and you make an absolute spectacle of yourself in the process. But at least you show up. Some signs never do. Onwards, I use the word loosely. Leo. May is the month Leo decides they deserve things. Not in any new way, this is a perennial condition. But Jupiter in Cancer is currently sitting in their 12th house doing something quietly dangerous, which is convincing them that abundance is their birthright and that the universe will sort out the admin. It won't. The universe is busy. Leo is on their own with the spreadsheet, which they've never opened. The full moon in Scorpio on 2nd May hits Leo's 4th house, home, foundations, the parts of yourself you don't perform for an audience. Something that's been quietly wrong in a close relationship surfaces here, and not gently. Scorpio full moons don't do gently. Whatever it is, Leo will handle it the way Leo handles most private discomfort. By going out somewhere expensive and looking magnificent while internally catastrophizing. This is not a coping strategy I'd recommend, but I've also stopped expecting people to take my advice, so. The new moon in Taurus on 17th of May lands in Leo's 10th house of career and public reputation, which is actually quite good news, and Leo will not appreciate how good, because they'll be distracted by a minor slight someone at work delivered 3 weeks ago that they're still mentally replaying and annotating. Mars moves from Aries into Taurus mid-month, which gives Leo's professional ambitions some actual traction. Slower, steadier, less dramatic than Mars in Aries, which Leo will hate because Leo prefers ambition to feel like a montage. This month it feels like filing. Do the filing. Mercury does something exhausting this month, moving through Aries, then Taurus, then tipping into Gemini, which means communication goes from combative to practical to slightly unhinged, roughly in line with how Leo's WhatsApp will read across the month. The danger period is the transition. Leo will say something in an email that reads as entirely reasonable to them and as a declaration of war to everyone else. They won't understand the fuss. Now. The finances. Venus moves from Gemini into Cancer this month, and in Leo's chart, that's a shift from the 11th house to the 12th. From social spending to private indulgence. What this means in practice is that Leo stops buying rounds for friends and starts buying things for themselves at 11 at night, justifying each purchase with a logic so baroque it could hang in a gallery. The subscription they're not cancelling isn't the streaming service. It's the one that sends boxes of things they definitely don't need, but have convinced themselves represents a lifestyle they're becoming. They've received 4 boxes. The lifestyle has not yet arrived. They'll give it one more month. The bit they won't want to hear. Leo performs generosity beautifully, and they are genuinely generous, and they also use that generosity as a reason not to look at whether they're happy. Picking up the bill is easier than answering the question. Jupiter in their 12th house all month is basically a planetary invitation to stop volunteering for the starring role in everyone else's story and ask what the actual plot of their own one is. They won't. But the invitation stands. The second full moon in Sagittarius on 31st May lights up Leo's 5th house, creativity, pleasure, the self that exists outside of what other people need. Something lands there that reminds them who they were before they got so busy being impressive. They're exhausting to be around and completely worth the effort. Both things are true. That's May. All right, who's next on the list? Virgo. The full moon in Scorpio on 2nd May is going to land in your third house of communication, and I need you to brace yourself, because what it's going to illuminate is how much mental energy you spend tallying other people's progress against your own. Not obviously. Not in a way you'd ever admit. You do it quietly, the way Virgos do everything quietly, a slight recalibration of your own standards whenever someone in your orbit achieves something, a private internal audit that begins the moment you hear about a colleague's promotion or a friend's new flat. Nobody clocks it. That's the thing about your particular brand of competitiveness. It's completely invisible from the outside, which is exactly how you like it, because acknowledging it would mean acknowledging it. May is the month it stops being invisible to you. Mercury, your ruling planet, is doing something genuinely irritating this month, charging through Aries, then Taurus, then into Gemini, so the mental atmosphere is shifting every time you think you've got your footing. Aries energy makes your thoughts combative and impatient. Taurus slows them down until you're chewing on a single worry like it's a difficult piece of steak. Then Gemini arrives, and suddenly you have 17 competing thoughts and opinions, and you want to share all of them with someone who hasn't asked. This is not a month for signing anything, committing to anything, or sending emails late at night. In love, the transit you want to watch is Venus moving from Gemini into Cancer mid-month. This is your 11th house shifting into your 12th, which means the social, light, flirtatious version of you starts to recede and something needier takes its place. Something you'll express sideways through suddenly caring a great deal about whether your partner does the washing up correctly. You're not angry about the washing up. You're worried you're not loved enough. The washing up is just where it lands. Your person will not understand this. You will not explain it. Everyone suffers. At work, Jupiter sitting in Cancer in your 11th house has been quietly building your professional reputation through your network, but Saturn grinding through Aries in your 8th house is demanding that you get serious about money, specifically the gap between what you earn and what you think you deserve. You know that gap exists. You've done the maths approximately 400 times. What you haven't done is say the number out loud to the person who could change it, because that would require performing confidence you haven't yet fully manufactured. Saturn doesn't care, it'll wait, but it's billing you for the time. The new moon in Taurus on 17th May falls in your 9th house, and this is the one genuine gift in an otherwise demanding month. A moment of genuine clarity about where you want to be in 5 years that doesn't immediately get contaminated by thoughts of where someone else already is. Take it. Write something down. Don't send it to anyone. The thing I've been saving up. You do not actually want to be the people you compare yourself to. You've thought about their lives in forensic detail, and you've found things you'd never tolerate. The comparison isn't really about them. It's about the version of yourself you keep postponing until conditions are perfect, which, and I say this with genuine affection, they will never be. You're better than you're letting yourself be. Extremely annoying of you, but there it is. Brace yourself. Libra. The full moon in Scorpio on 2nd May lands in your 2nd house, which means the month opens with you staring at your bank balance with the expression of someone who has discovered a wasp in their salad. You already knew it was bad. You've known for weeks. You've just been aestheticizing the problem instead of solving it, buying a very beautiful notebook to track your expenses in, using it twice, leaving it on the coffee table as a decorative object, and calling this progress. This is the Libra coping pattern I want to talk about, because it's the one nobody names. It's not that you avoid problems, you curate them. You arrange your anxieties into something visually coherent, add a scented candle, and mistake the arrangement for resolution. May is the month this stops working, mostly because Saturn in Aries is sitting in your seventh house being aggressively direct at you, and Saturn has all the aesthetic appreciation of a tax tribunal. That seventh house pressure means someone in your life, a partner, a close collaborator, possibly both if May decides to be efficient about ruining your fortnight, is going to say something plainly and without decorative softening, and you're going to find it almost unbearable. Not because it's wrong, because it's right and it didn't come wrapped in anything. In love, the thing I've noticed about Libras, and I'm aware this is going to hit a nerve, is that you don't struggle to communicate so much as you struggle to communicate without simultaneously managing the other person's reaction to your communication. You pre-process their feelings before they've had them. You soften things to the point of saying nothing. You leave conversations feeling vaguely noble about your sensitivity and then wonder why nothing changes. With Venus moving through Gemini early in the month and shifting into Cancer from around the 19th, there's a brief window where emotional honesty becomes slightly easier, slightly less like performing surgery on yourself without anesthetic. Use it. Say the thing you've been translating into diplomatic non-language for the past 2 months. The original version, in your own words. Work-wise, Jupiter sitting comfortably in your 10th house through Cancer is genuinely good news, and I say that without the usual asterisk. There's real professional warmth available to you, real recognition, real growth, if you can stop second-guessing every decision long enough to make one. Mercury tears through Aries, Taurus, and Gemini this month in a way that makes communication fast and a little chaotic. The new moon in Taurus on 17th of May falls in your 8th house, which is the money you share, the resources that aren't entirely yours, the financial conversations you've been putting off. Have them now. Taurus new moons reward practical action, and the second full moon in Sagittarius on 31st May, your 3rd house, is practically shouting at you to say the thing, write the email, have the conversation out loud rather than exclusively in your head at 2 a.m. The bit you won't want to hear is this. The wellness thing you're about to start, the breathwork, the cold exposure, the supplement protocol you read about at midnight, is going to be genuinely helpful for approximately 11 days, at which point you'll quietly stop doing it and replace it with reading about a different wellness thing. The actual problem, which is that you are chronically overstimulated by other people's emotional states and have no proper system for discharging this, will remain unaddressed. It's been there for years. You've made it very comfortable. You are, despite all of this, one of the most genuinely thoughtful people in the room. You just need the room to stop having quite so many people in it for a while. This one's going to sting. Scorpio. The full moon on 2nd May lands directly in Scorpio, which means the month opens with your feelings pressed up against the glass like a child in a sweet shop, enormous, silent, and absolutely not going to ask for what they want. This is your full moon, your ruling light, the cosmos briefly turning a spotlight on you and everything you've been sitting with since November. The appropriate response is catharsis. The Scorpio response is to do an extremely thorough Google search on a health symptom, decide you probably have 3 months to live, and use the resulting fatalism as a reason not to address the actual emotional situation at hand. Jupiter in Cancer is sitting beautifully in your 9th house this month, expanding your sense of what's possible, particularly around belief systems, long-distance plans, and the stories you tell yourself about why your life is the shape it is. This is genuinely good energy, and I say that with the weary sincerity of someone who doesn't hand out genuine compliments without checking twice. There's growth here, real growth, if you can stop catastrophizing long enough to notice it. You won't, though, not immediately. Saturn in Aries is grinding through your sixth house, the house of daily routines, health and work, and it has been for a while now. What this means in practice is that the ordinary maintenance of being a human body has started to feel like a personal insult. Scorpios under sixth house Saturn pressure do one of two things. They either develop a rigorous wellness system with military precision, or they develop a rigorous wellness system, maintain it for 11 days, and then abandon it entirely because it didn't fix the existential part. May will feature the second of these. There will be a supplement, possibly a breathwork app. The problem it was supposed to solve, the chronic low-grade anxiety that you've been treating like a personality trait rather than a symptom, will not be addressed, because addressing it would require saying something out loud to another person, which is, as we all know, the Scorpio equivalent of running naked through a shopping centre. Mercury moves through Aries, then Taurus, then Gemini this month. Three signs, one planet, a great deal of conversational whiplash for everyone around you. In relationships, this manifests as a peculiar pattern. You'll finally start to say the thing, change your mind about whether the person deserves to hear it, and replace it with something superficially reasonable that means nothing. Partners find this maddening. You find their inability to read your mind frankly unprofessional. The new moon in Taurus on 17th May hits your seventh house. Partnerships, commitment, the question of who you're actually building something with. This is a reset point. Something can start here, or something can be quietly decided, and either way it will feel more significant than you let on. Mars moves into Taurus mid-month and joins that seventh house energy, which adds drive and a certain pig-headed stubbornness to everything relational. You'll know what you want. Getting your mouth to cooperate is the part we're all waiting for. The thing none of your friends want to tell you is this. The health spiral and the emotional shutdown are the same thing. You already know that. You've known it for months. You did research. What you're actually quite good at is surviving the months that would flatten most people and still showing up. May will be one of those months. You'll survive it in your usual way, alone, thorough and slightly insufferable about it, but you'll survive it. That's not nothing, it's nearly something. Oh, this should be fun. Sagittarius. The full moon in Scorpio on the 2nd May is sitting directly opposite your sign, lighting up your sixth house like a forensic lamp. The sixth house governs health, daily habits, and the small grinding routines that either hold your life together or quietly dissolve it. For a Sagittarius, this is already uncomfortable territory. You are, constitutionally, a person who finds the word routine slightly offensive. But the moon doesn't care. It's going to make you look at the gap between what you tell yourself you do and what you actually do, and that gap, my friend, is cavernous. The angle this month is wellness. Not in a good way. Jupiter, your ruling planet, is currently in Cancer in your eighth house, the house of transformation, shared resources, and the psychological basement where you keep the things you'd rather not examine. Jupiter in Cancer is generous and excessive in equal measure, which for Sagittarius means the coping mechanisms are going to be enthusiastic. You will either decide, somewhere around the 4th, that you've discovered the solution to everything, cold water swimming perhaps, or a specific kind of breathwork with a name that sounds like a sneeze. Or you'll spend 3 weeks eating your feelings with the dedication of someone training for a competition. Both are fine in moderation. You won't do either in moderation. Jupiter in Cancer doesn't do moderation. It does abundance, and then slightly more abundance, and then a quiet conversation with yourself at 2 a.m. about why you feel terrible. Meanwhile, Saturn is in Aries in your fifth house, putting pressure on the things you do for pleasure and self-expression. Saturn in the fifth isn't fun. It turns fun into work, into something you have to justify or improve or make more efficient. You'll start tracking your sleep. You'll make your hobby into a project with goals. Some Sagittarians will pick up exercise as a form of emotional regulation this month, which is genuinely healthy, and I'm pleased for you, right up until you injure yourself trying to do too much too fast, because Mars is moving from Aries into Taurus through mid-month, and your energy will spike before it plateaus. Do not begin a running program at the pace of someone being chased. The bit you won't want to hear is this. The actual problem isn't your cortisol or your gut microbiome or whether you're drinking enough water. The full moon in Sagittarius on 31st May, your moon, the one that lands directly on your first house, is going to make this unmistakably clear. Whatever you've been calling a lifestyle issue is a feelings issue. You've known this since roughly March. The cold plunge was a metaphor. You haven't been cold, you've been scared, and the difference matters. In love, with Venus moving from Gemini into Cancer late in the month, your relationship with intimacy gets more complicated than you'd prefer. You want connection, but Cancer-flavoured intimacy asks for softness and vulnerability and sitting still long enough to actually feel something. Sagittarius would rather plan a trip. The Mercury parade through Aries, Taurus, and finally into Gemini by month's end suggests you'll talk around the thing rather than about it, eloquently, mind you, at some length, with excellent vocabulary, but talking around it nonetheless. If someone important to you seems frustrated, that's why. The new moon in Taurus on 17 May falls in your sixth house and gives you a genuinely useful reset on your habits and health. This is the actual moment to start the thing. Not the thing that sounds impressive, but the boring, sustainable thing that might actually help. You're not as fine as you claim. You're not as unaffected as you perform. And the stubbornness with which you maintain the performance is, paradoxically, one of the most exhausting things about you. And also, reluctantly, one of the reasons people stick around. Now then, Capricorn. The full moon in Scorpio on the 2nd is going to ambush you in the most Capricorn way possible, by making you feel things while you're trying to do something productive. Scorpio rules your 12th house, which is where you store everything you haven't processed, all the emotional back catalogue you filed under deal with later and then built a load-bearing wall in front of. The wall is making a noise this month. Not crumbling, not collapsing, just creaking in a way you can't quite ignore. You'll probably respond by downloading a wellness app. This is the pattern for May 2026. Not breakdown, not breakthrough. Something more insidious, which is the Capricorn habit of converting genuine emotional difficulty into a project. The anxiety is real. The response will be to optimise it away. You'll find a breathwork routine, a cold shower protocol, a supplement stack, a sleep tracker, a specific kind of magnesium that costs $40 and arrives in packaging that implies you're the sort of person who has their life together. For about 9 days, you will feel brilliant. Then you'll quietly stop, and the original feeling will still be there, patient as a creditor. Saturn is sitting in Aries in your fourth house all month, which is the house of home, roots, and the emotional architecture of your past. Saturn here is asking uncomfortable questions about what you've inherited. Not money, though that too if you're lucky, but patterns. The way your family did grief, ambition, love, silence. Mars moves from Aries into Taurus this month, crossing into your fifth house of pleasure and self-expression, and while that's genuinely energising for creative work, you'll probably direct that energy at a spreadsheet. At work, Jupiter in Cancer is sitting in your seventh house of partnerships and contracts, which is genuinely excellent for collaborative projects and for charming people you need things from. You're more personable than usual in May, warmer, more interested, better at dinner. Use this. The money situation benefits from the Taurus new moon on the 17th, which falls in your fifth house and is ideal for any creative pitch, proposal, or investment in something you actually enjoy. The catch is that you have to admit you enjoy it, which costs you more than any financial outlay. Mercury is cantering through Aries, Taurus, and Gemini this month, your fourth, fifth, and sixth houses, which means your inner monologue is restless and slightly argumentative. In relationships, this manifests as being technically correct in every conversation and somehow still losing. Your partner, flatmate, or whoever has the misfortune of living with you in May will not say you're wrong. They'll just go very quiet, which is much worse. The second full moon in Sagittarius on the 31st lights up your 12th house again. Two 12th house full moons in one month is the universe's way of insisting that the wall does, in fact, need looking at. Not demolished, just looked at. The actual problem is not your cortisol levels. The actual problem is that you think endurance is the same thing as coping, and you have been enduring the same thing for quite some time now, and you are very good at it. And nobody has ever thanked you properly for that. And somewhere deeply buried under the project management and the magnesium, you are furious about it. You're not broken. You're just tired of being the one who holds it all together without anyone noticing the effort involved. That's almost an entirely different thing. Deep breath. Aquarius. The full moon in Scorpio on 2nd May lights up your 10th house of career and public reputation, and you will immediately try to make it about your professional ambitions rather than sit with what it's actually stirring. Which is the question of whether anyone at work actually knows you, or just knows the version of you that you've carefully assembled for their convenience. Scorpio rules depth, transformation, and the things you'd rather not discuss at the table. You've arranged your life so that nothing requires you to discuss them at the table. May's overarching problem is this. Pluto is still grinding through Aquarius, has been for a while now, and if you think that planet is going to let you keep the emotional trap door nailed shut, you haven't been paying attention. Pluto in your own sign is a years-long renovation project happening in the room you're trying to sleep in. The dust is everywhere. You keep telling people the house is fine. Meanwhile, Saturn in Aries is sitting in your third house, which governs communication, specifically the kind you do with people you see regularly and mostly take for granted. Saturn here has the energy of a teacher standing silently at the front of the class after a question no one wants to answer. It's been building since early this year. The conversation you're avoiding isn't some grand emotional showdown. It's smaller than that, which is precisely why you won't have it. Aquarius can manage a crisis beautifully. It's the medium-sized, uncomfortable truth that makes you suddenly very busy. In love, you're doing the thing where you demonstrate care through actions, researching restaurants, remembering allergies, sending that article, rather than saying the actual words, because the actual words would imply a level of need that you'd find embarrassing in yourself. Venus moves from Gemini into Cancer mid-month, shifting the emotional register from flirtatious and clever into something warmer and more insistent about being held. If you're in a relationship, your partner will want more of you in May. You will offer them a thoughtful summary of your feelings, well-structured and emotionally adjacent to the point. At work, the new moon in Taurus on 17th of May falls in your fourth house, the house of home, foundation, and the private self. New moons are beginnings, and this one is asking you to start something that requires you to be less professional and more human. There is probably an opportunity this month that you'll undervalue because it asks you to show you're working, rather than just hand in the answer. Mercury journeys through Aries, Taurus, and into Gemini over May, which gives your thinking an unusual amount of momentum. You'll be sharp, fast, and very convincing, which you'll use to win arguments that didn't need winning and avoid conversations that did. The thing you won't want to hear is that the elaborate intellectual framework you've built around why you don't need to say it plainly, the long explanation of how you show love, the theory about communication styles, the very reasonable case for why directness is overrated, all of that is quite impressively constructed and absolutely, categorically, a way of not saying the thing. The full moon in Sagittarius on 31st May lights your 11th house. Your people, your community, the friends who've known you long enough to see the gap between what you broadcast and what you're actually doing. They see it. They love you anyway. You might try trusting that more. And now, for reasons I'm sure they'll regret reading, Pisces. May arrives with a full moon in Scorpio on the 2nd, sitting square across the sky from your sun. And if you've been telling yourself that thing is fine, the health thing, the money thing, the relationship dynamic that has quietly become a hostage situation, the moon in Scorpio will drag it into the light with the subtlety of a bailiff. Scorpio rules your 8th house, the house of shared resources and psychological inheritance. What you've borrowed from other people, their emotional patterns, their ways of coping, their particular species of dysfunction, is up for review. You will not want to review it. You will instead spend the first week of May researching somatic breathwork. This is the month's real theme, and I say it with genuine affection. You have found a new wellness intervention instead of addressing the actual problem. It will be very convincing to you. It will have a nice font on its website. You will buy the journal that goes with it, or the supplements, or the app that costs slightly too much per month. By the 17th, you will have forgotten the password. Jupiter in Cancer is currently making your 5th house very generous and soft and lovely, which is wonderful for creativity and less wonderful for discernment. Everything feels like it might be the thing. The breathwork, the cold shower protocol, the herbal tincture a person on the internet said would help with cortisol. The actual thing, which is a conversation you need to have and have been not having since approximately February. Mercury is scuttling through Aries, then Taurus, then Gemini this month, lighting up your 2nd house of money, then your 3rd house of communication, before landing in my sign at the end of May. That arc from money to communication is a map of what you need to do. The financial situation is not as dire as it feels in your head at 3 a.m, but it does require you to speak about it, to a professional, to a partner, to anyone except the ceiling. The problem isn't the numbers. The problem is that you've made the numbers a private catastrophe and are managing it with silence and magnesium glycinate. In relationships, Venus moves from Gemini into Cancer this month, softening your 5th house into something warmer and more domestic. You will want to merge. You will want to be taken care of in a way you cannot quite articulate. What you will actually do is become very helpful to everyone around you, almost suspiciously so, because being needed is easier than being known. Someone in your life would like to know you. The version of you that doesn't already have it handled, who hasn't already processed it, who still isn't quite sure. Let them, just once, without narrating it, as growth afterwards. The new moon in Taurus on the 17th falls in your 3rd house, and it is asking with remarkable directness for you to say the thing, not the beautiful version of the thing, not the thing you've reframed so effectively that it's become a different thing entirely. The original thing in its original shape to the person who actually needs to hear it. Saturn in Aries is sitting in your 2nd house all month, being relentlessly practical about what things cost: time, money, energy, peace. It is not a fun planet. It doesn't have a podcast, and it doesn't care about your nervous system regulation, but it does get results, which is more than can be said for the breath work. The full moon in Sagittarius closes the month on the 31st, lighting up your 10th house of career and public life. Something becomes visible. Work you've done quietly might finally get some air. Let it be seen. You are, underneath all the self-sabotage and the wellness theatre and the strategic self-effacement, genuinely rather good at what you do. That's not a compliment, it's just an observation that it would be nice if you'd stop hiding it quite so industriously. And that's all 12 signs sorted for May 2026. If you feel personally attacked, good. That means I got your chart right. I'll be back next month with fresh material, assuming the planets don't do anything too dramatic in the meantime, which, knowing this year, they absolutely will. Find me at badastrologer.com for daily readings, the incompatibility test, and personalised natal chart readings that get even more specific about your failings. Until next time, don't blame me, blame the stars.